The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. About to recap some Monday Night Football. A thrilling 27-14. I don't even mean that sarcastically. That game was awesome. 27-14. Steelers move to 3-4. The Dolphins fall to 0-7. Pittsburgh got off to a rough start, but finally overcame their issues. Mason Rudolph kind of played well. We will get to that in a minute. But first, welcome the crew, Ryan Wilson, Sean Wagner, John Breach, the NFL Super Friends. What's up, fellas?
Hey, Will.
Hey, Brinson. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, I thought we were going to get, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I thought this game was going to be a 2, and it was like a 7. So I'm good. I'm happy.
Yeah, I think it was like a 6.5, 7. That's probably right. What do you think, Sean?
I think the first half was a 10 because we just could imagine Ryan melting down on his couch as he sipped his herbal tea as he watched the Steelers losing to a winless team.
Or like Ryan pretending he doesn't care. He's like, well, I mean, whatever. Like, season was over anyway. Like, no one, I didn't care at all. And now he's like, yeah, we beat the Dolphins. Ha ha, we're back.
100% chance. That's exactly how my evening played out.
I will tell you this, as somebody who holds a Steelers to win the AFC North ticket that I had written off the second that Ben Roethlisberger went down, I feel like it's got a little bit of life.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I'll say. I mean, Breach can attest to this. He actually put it in our little Slack room. I said on one of the YouTube shows that I felt like I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins win. And Brinson, you bring this up every year. I always write about how Tomlin's terrible against terrible teams. So 14-0 wasn't a huge shock. I wasn't happy to watch it. Don't get me wrong. And I think Sean said this at some point somewhere on the inner tubes. That interception by Mason Rudolph was one of the worst throws we've seen all season.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. But I'll just say this. 22 days ago, he got knocked out so badly that he was laying on the ground for 5 minutes unconscious. Mm-hmm. Then they made him walk off the field. That doesn't help your recovery. I'm a doctor. I know about those things. So anyway, he looked a little rusty early on. He got better. I wasn't crazy about the way he played, but the defense is really good, and the Dolphins are terrible. The highlight for me was Brian Flores almost suplexing the official on the side of the field after they overturned that fourth down call. What are you making faces about?
I don't know. I figured the highlight of you might have been one of Mason Rudolph's two touchdown passes, or the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster had over 100 receiving yards after being mostly lethargic and terrible for the entire season, or the fact that you didn't lose the frickin' Dolphins.
Oh, well, and they covered. The Dolphins did, which I thought they would do. But no, I mean, look, they're playing against a bunch of practice squad guys. So yeah, I'm glad they were doing this thing, but I could sympathize with Brian Flores, because if you ever see me at my old man soccer league, I get like that a lot, and you just want to kill somebody. So I felt very strongly about Brian. I knew where he was coming from, and I give him a lot of credit for not actually putting his hands on the official. The thing is, I'm not so sure what he was angry about, but I appreciate the anger in the moment, given how terrible this team is.
As long as we're
just quick update. Just want to get this out there. Sunday night, Sammy Watkins, 5 catches, 45 yards.
Yes.
Monday night, Devontae Parker, 6 catches, 59 yards.
Ooh, it's close.
He's creeping.
What's the season overall?
You take out that first week explosion and just give Sammy.
Well, you don't get to take out the first week.
I'm not going to try to take it out. I think he's going to walk him down anyway. Sammy's going to get hurt.
He ain't walking
Alt is out for a while. Devontae's walking him down, baby. Or Devontae's getting traded to the Patriots,
and it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
If he gets paid to do
one more big Sammy game, and you know that can happen. So
yeah,
well, Andy Reid can scheme up one big – Sammy Watkins isn't even one big game. He needs a 90-yard touchdown, and the bet's done.
Right. That would involve being healthy on the field. By the way, thank you to everybody who got online and left a 5-star review. We're going to answer some questions related to those at the end of this podcast. We saw a big burst last week. So if you listen to the podcast, if you like the podcast, if you want to help us out, you know, hit up the little Apple Podcast app on your phone. You can slide down. You can hit the 5-star button. You can also write a review if you really like it, if you're so inclined. We greatly appreciate it. We also have a separate trade deadline podcast that I recorded with Jason Lockenfora, our CBS Sports NFL insider, that's on the feed. And then on, so you're listening to this on Tuesday morning. On Tuesday evening, the trade deadline, Tuesday afternoon, the trade deadline is at 4 p.m. We're going to have an instant reaction Super Friends trade deadline podcast. And then we will have a Brady Quinn football show that comes out on Wednesday morning. Yeah. And now look, if nothing happens, like nobody gets traded, we'll probably bail on that instant reaction. But if there's anything worth talking about, we will get to that, do some winners and losers and all of that. Mason Rudolph, by the way, the top fantasy performer in this game, 20 fantasy points. What's your level of concern, Ryan, for the James Conner injury? Benny Snell went out. I obviously missed that because I tweeted about it.
Knee injury for Benny.
What's that?
Knee injury for Benny is what they said.
Yeah, and we haven't heard what James Conner's injury yet was there. I don't even want to discuss the rumor. He had a great game. 23 carries, 145 yards, one touchdown. They had him out there late. Feels like they could have not done that maybe.
Brent, let me just throw in, Mike Tomlin did say after the game that his shoulder AC joint injury, but he didn't say how severe it was.
They had no one else to run the ball because your boy Jalen Samuels out. He should be back next week. He practiced all week, but they didn't play him after the knee surgery he had a few weeks ago. You mentioned Benny Snell got hurt. And then Trey Edmonds, which is Terrell Edmonds, the defensive back's brother. They signed with the practice squad a few weeks ago.
He actually had a carry? Did he run the ball?
At the end. He one carry for 0 yards, I think.
Ryan, how do you feel about the fact that James Conner's injury came with the Steelers up 13 in garbage time in the fourth quarter?
I literally just explained why that happened.
No, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, though. Because
what are they supposed to do?
I don't know, QB sneak, kneel it?
QB sneak, yeah, that's exactly. They never QB sneaked ever.
Throw short little hook passes?
So, Breach, your solution is to not run the healthy running back up the middle on design play. It's to have the previously concussed backup quarterback dive head first into
what,
the pile.
Duck Hodges in?
That's actually Duck Hodges runs the option, pitches to Mason Rudolph. Right. By the way.
They could have just kneeled, as Breach said, though.
They could have, but I mean, you should be able to run up the middle. This is idiotic that you're blame. I mean, there's a lot of things to blame Tomlin for. No running back. What are you going to do? Go ahead, Brent.
Randy Fickner.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you bootlegging Mason Rudolph on second?
I don't know what that was.
You're running 6 yards a carry and you're bootlegging the previously concussed backup quarterback. He just gets, by the way, not even fast. Like,
what about Booger saying, well, he's got a lot of confidence now because he got smacked in the face and he got up from it.
he's like wobbling around. I know.
I feel like he busted play, but that was a terrible idea.
As long as we're talking about idiotic coaching play calls, and I was going to say earlier, my highlight of the game was the Dolphins being in control of this game in the first half and looking like they were going to go into halftime with a 14-3 lead. And with 17 seconds left, I believe, the Steelers have the ball on the 45-yard line, Dolphins 45-yard line, and they have a 3rd and 20. Any other coach in this situation, we just talked about on yesterday's podcast that coaches' inherent nature is to be conservative. You go prevent. You let them take 10 yards underneath. You make the tackle. You get into halftime or, you know, you then have to defend the Hail Mary.
Make Boswell kick a field goal.
Or they're going to have to throw a Hail Mary in the next play. So, you know what I mean? It just sit down, play prevent. What does Brian Flores do, a defensive coach who was calling the plays in New England last year? He does the thing in Madden, which is engage 8, which is the one play in Madden. Whenever Madden suggests it, you never pick it because it never works because you have 3 guys in coverage downfield, and he did engage 8.
Yeah. If the quarterback – if you do an all-out blitz like that and the quarterback can even just like in Madden, you just need to tap the button. In real life, you just need the quarterback to lob the ball up. Deontay Johnson's waiting right there. He gets it. He walks into the end zone. Yeah, I mean, rough look. The Steelers were going to win that game, I think. It was going to take a lot.
14-0, I'll be honest. I'm sure you guys felt the same way. You weren't sure which way that game was going to go.
I thought the Dolphins would win.
Mason Rudolph
could not throw the ball forward downfield.
I thought about live betting the Dolphins plus 2.5 when it was four after like a couple. Mason Rudolph was two different players in the first and second half. He still wasn't great in the second half. They were trying to really boost his confidence. You could tell, but he's like chucking the ball a little deep. He just doesn't have the velocity you'd think he would have as a downfield thrower or the accuracy.
The accuracy is a bigger issue for me. I mean, he missed two guys wide open in the middle of the field, one on fourth down. I think another one on third down that
like the ball is like wobbling. Like it's not even a good throw. Like was he that bad at like Oklahoma State? Surely he wasn't.
No, I think part of it is that he got the dookie knocked out of him 3 weeks ago. So yeah. Maybe he'll be better, but he hasn't been lights out this season. I mean,
he had a couple good throws.
Yeah.
He also threw up a couple prayers where his receivers absolutely bailed him out. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson.
Both, I love how Breach is so bitter.
Both touchdown. You know what's funny, Ryan, is that I remember when they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick a couple weeks ago. And during a podcast, you were like, oh, man, I hope they only put Fitzpatrick's last name on the thing they send to the NFL office. And then they accidentally send us Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know if you remember saying that, but you joked about that. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing is, because you're bashing Mason Rudolph right now, what would the Steelers' record be with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
They'd be 3-4. I mean, let's be honest. He's a turnover machine, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's fine. And so I'd rather have Matt Moore. I actually asked Sean about that last night over Mr. Trubisky. But Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't – he's 0-9 against the Steelers. So it's not like he's going to come in
and
fix it.
Yeah, so then if he's on the Steelers, he can't play the Steelers. Yeah,
we saw the full Ryan Fitzpatrick experience tonight, which was – usually you see it not, you know, in the same game. Usually you see it for like a 3-game stretch where he looks like he's an actual viable starting quarterback in the NFL. And then the next 3 games, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like this guy sucks. When we saw that in the first half, which he looked fine. And then we saw it in the second half where he looked absolutely terrible. So we got the full Ryan Fitzpatrick roller coaster where he was Fitzmagic at the beginning and then Fitz tragic late.
In his defense, that first interception was all on Jack Nicholson's grandson. Hit him right in the chest. Nick O'Leary popped straight up in the air. And that's how Fitzpatrick Minkah got the first interception
and
started.
And Fitzpatrick's second interception, too, was classic. Like a third and long, perfect punt inside the 5-yard line.
The only team that doesn't make that interception, of course, the Patriots, because Devin McCourty knows to bat the ball down at the 4-yard line because it's going to be 4th and 16. So everyone else makes the play, and you just have to live with it.
The officiating, couple of things. I don't want to be – look, it's a thing, okay?
It's bad.
Yeah. First of all, the offensive pass interference, which I actually think might have been pass interference.
Who knows? Either way, if they hadn't called it and you challenged it, you don't know.
There's no challenge. They're like,
well, that's what
we're
going to
automatically review that to the booth. It's like, wait, I completely forgot they can do that. And they're like, and Joe Tessitore points out, he's like, yeah, 3 of 7 that have been automatically reviewed have been overturned, which made me think, why aren't we just automatically reviewing all pass interference plays? Like if there's, like instead of having the coaches challenge it, I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying if there's one, just make that a buzz in only situation for the official up top.
I'm like only down for that if you buzz into John Perry, who seems to know what's going on, not Al Riveron.
That's fine. I mean, somebody tweeted at me too. It was like, on the bright side, this calamity with Al Riveron is giving you all plenty of good talking points. Like, and that's all I could think about was like, they're like, oh yeah, Al. Hey, Al, can you come out here? We need you to look at this pass interference. And he's like wearing a, you've seen Costas doing those SI videos. Like I'm picturing Al Riveron in like that red robe with like a fat cigar. And he's like watching Seinfeld in a couch in like the NFL office. He's like, ha ha ha, bubble boy. Ha ha ha. And they're like, Al, come on out here. And he's like, leave the call and field stands, move along. And like, just doesn't want to deal with it. That's how I pictured this going down up there. So yes, I enjoyed that thought process. The other one that was bad, I thought, was the one that you mentioned, Ryan, that where Brian Flores flipped out, in which they're like, we're going to review the spot. And they go and they spend like 15 minutes looking at the cameras and they're checking everything. And the guy comes back out. He's like, upon further review, the runner's knee was down on the 47-yard line. We will now measure to see if it was a first down. It's like, what? Like, well, you can see where the freaking first down is on the camera.
That review took like 8.5 minutes, I think, someone counted.
No, but then Then after the play, they ended the third quarter a second time. What are we doing?
It was such a long delay that ESPN didn't even go to commercial in between quarters because they had run out of all their normal commercials. And like, well, that was never passed up a chance to go to commercials. Like
our good buddy from back in the day at Fanhouse and also CBS Sports, Adam Gretz, who is a longtime Steelers ticket holder, tweeted this from the game, and it makes a ton of sense for people who are watching the football game and all this nonsense happens. It takes 10 minutes to sort out something that should take 10 seconds. He goes, it just takes the life out of the stadium. No one's paying attention. Everyone's bored out of their minds. They don't know what's going on. This seems like something you might want to fix if the NFL. I mean, you talk about all this other stuff, but just sort this out. It's not difficult.
But they won't.
I don't think they care. I think they're fine with it.
Well, I told you what they care about. They care about one thing.
By the way, Mason, you know the craziest?
Go ahead, Brett. How's it keep going with officiating? The craziest thing that happened all of tonight that had to do with officiating was that Mike Tomlin won a challenge. Wilson is literally cheering right now. I don't think he had won a challenge since the 2016 season. He had lost 11 challenges in a row. Honest to God, I thought we would see Sean get married to someone on Tinder before we would see Mike Tomlin win a challenge. But he came through, and it was a big one because it was a 4th-and-1, the one you guys were just talking about, which was – challenge. That's why it got reviewed because Tomlin challenged it.
I did see someone tweet that the last time Tomlin won a challenge, Obama was still president. So that's how long it's been.
Wow.
Look, Sean, bringing politics into it.
It's just a fact. It's just a normal fact. I'm not saying it was
fun. Real? The last time that Tomlin won a challenge, Obama was president?
It makes sense. It was 2016. It must have been at the beginning of the 2016 season.
That is a long ass time.
Hey, he's not great at it. What are you going to do?
Feels like 30 years.
I'm going to go to his Pro Football Reference page.
He
had whiffed on 11 in a row. I'm not sure when the last win was, but he had lost Foster, 11 straight.
Ramon Foster also suffered an injury.
Yeah, he had a concussion. He was in concussion protocol, I believe. So he came out pretty early in that game of fact.
Yeah.
Correctly. So the good news about this.
Go ahead. Let's wrap up this chatter.
Yeah, his last challenge that he won was January 9th, 2016, A.J. McCarron completes a short pass to Giovanni Bernard. Bernard fumbles, recovered by Ryan Shazier.
That's probably the playoff game, right?
100%.
Challenged, the runner was down by contact ruling, and the play was overturned.
Shazier actually speared Gio Bernard on that play. I'm sure John remembers that, and there was a lot of conversation about whether that was legal or not.
Was that the Vontaze Antonio Brown?
Shazier didn't get called for a penalty, even though that is a penalty now because they changed it in the rule book.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. He won one more.
Oh, boy. Sean's not allowed to read anymore.
December 2016, there was a pass intended for Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor throwing it to
him.
At the
end of the year. Okay. Yeah. I was like, you moron.
By the way, one thing quickly. I just want to say this. Do we still think that both teams are going to be winless when the Dolphins meet the Bengals?
100%.
Yeah. No.
I cannot wait for that game.
I do not. I actually think the
We have to fly down to Fort Lauderdale for that game and cover it. Bengals versus Dolphins.
I think the Dolphins are going to win Sunday against the Jets. I just need to get that out.
Okay. If they're winless, Brinson, we absolutely have to. They're both winless.
Coming up on the schedule for the Steelers, Colts and Rams at home. What are they going to do in those games, Ryan? We talked about this last night. Oh, no, they're getting one of those. I guarantee
you. Who are they beating?
They'll beat the Colts. They will beat the Colts.
I hope not. I actually like the Colts to win the division, but go ahead.
We just talked
about yesterday about how their record in one score games. You called it problematic yourself, Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. If the Steelers can go 1-1 of those games, again.
Is this Browns, like your Steelers, Jets prognostication?
he finds a new team every single week that he latches on to.
Right, I want to hear this. He's fluffing
playoff
me up.
The Ravens have the Patriots. And then the Bengals, Texans, Rams, 49ers. It's not insane for the Ravens to go 1-4 in those games.
Oh, come on.
Patriots, Texans, Rams, 49ers? How many of those winning? How many of those are they winning?
They can go 2-2.
There's five. They're going to beat the Bengals, obviously, because the Bengals are trash.
All right, what's your Steelers pep talk?
I'm telling you, I think here's my prediction. On December 1st, when the Steelers host the Browns and the Ravens host the 49ers, after those games, when we do the Sunday night show, the Steelers will be tied for first place in the division.
Okay. Well, mark it down, Breach.
Save that. Clip it. Save it.
Are you guys going to bet something on it?
No, I'm just going to shove in his face that Sunday night.
Ryan's so it's only me and Breach that bet on things now?
Yeah.
Look, we got to move along.
Cowards.
I am clipping it and saving it, and I'd also like all our listeners to know that they can also log on Tuesday and see our midseason NFL predictions, and Brinson does have the Steelers finishing in second over the Browns. But he does not have them in first.
That's fair. That's fine. I almost did that.
The Browns suck.
Dude. I think I did that, too.
Both these teams suck. I don't know how bad they're each going to be.
All right. The Dolphins have the Jets at home, at the Colts, Bills at home, at the Browns. Any chance they win one of those?
The Jets maybe, but probably not.
Short week, though, unfortunately.
So if they're winless... If they're winless, we have to be on South Beach all dressed as Santa Claus, but like where we hand out White Claws. So like that's the Claws.
There's a good idea, Santa Claus idea there. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some news. There's a bunch of trades. Offensive coordinator got fired, and we're going to run through the division to look at win totals.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Okay, news time. Man, a bunch of news happened. First and foremost, the Chargers fired Kenny Wisenhunt. I like to think that if he was the headmaster of like a prep school, they'd call him Kenny. Kenny Scholl. Kenny Scholl used to be the dean of students at Macaulay. Maybe he is the dean of students now. Either way. Ken Wisenhunt, longtime coordinator, actually survived the head coaching change when Mike McCoy was fired and Anthony Lynn came on. He stayed there. Phillip Rivers is a big fan. This year has not worked out well for them. 23rd in terms of points scored at 19.6, 17th in terms of yards. And when you look at the 2019 Chargers, clearly something wrong with them. Offensively, the last 3 weeks, or the last 4 weeks, if you want to do it, 13, 17, 20, and 17. That was against the Broncos, Steelers, Titans, and Bears. So some good defenses there, but the team went 1-3 in those games. They adjusted very poorly, Sean, to bringing back Melvin Gordon into the fold and frankly just looked like crap. The last 3 weeks, this is almost unheard of in terms of NFL. They 35, 32, 39, 36. That's their rushing yard totals.
Yeah, so I don't want to mount an impassioned defense of Ken Wisenhunt because it's not worth it.
Don't do that.
No, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, when you mentioned the Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler thing, something that I agree with you on very clearly, I don't know if I should blame Wisenhunt or if I should blame the head coach because that could very well be an Anthony Lynn decision. If you listen to the comments Anthony Lynn made when Melvin Gordon came back, it made it sound like he was the one saying Melvin Gordon's going to be the starter and all that. And this is what I'll say. The advanced metrics actually liked the Chargers better than, you know, what they were scoring. You mentioned they were going up against good defenses. They came into the week ranked 14th in DVOA offensively. And I'm not saying that's good, obviously, but they were one spot behind the Patriots, 2 spots behind the Lions, 1 spot ahead of the 49ers. And obviously no one's talking about the 49ers making some sort of change on their offensive coach and staff. So for me, the Chargers' problems, I don't think, come down to Ken Wisenhunt. I think they have much bigger problems. Again, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, he's scapegoated and this is, he deserves to keep his job and all that because the Chargers have seriously underperformed on both sides of the ball. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that he alone is not going to fix things. Getting rid of him is not going to solve the Chargers' woes. They have far bigger problems than Ken Wisenhunt.
Yeah, I think when you look at this is firing Wisenhunt here would be like Wilson firing his barber. It just, This is not going to help anything.
I just spit all over my computer screen. That's the best analogy that you've had
yet.
That's
pretty good job.
But like Sean was saying,
I hope
like,
you go bald.
It's happening. It's slowly happening, Wilson. By the time I'm your age, it's all going to be gone. And then we could laugh about this together. But I mean, Sean hit the nail on the head. I don't know that you can blame all of this on Wisenhunt. I feel like beginning of the season, the offense looked a lot better. They bring Melvin Gordon back. His holdout ends. And what we don't know is, did Anthony Lynn say, hey, we have to incorporate this guy in the offense? Because things were running pretty smoothly with just Austin Eckler out there. And Brinson, you just mentioned those numbers. The Chargers are the first team since 1946 to go four straight games without hitting 40 yards rushing. So that is how bad it's been. And coincidentally, those are the four games where Melvin Gordon returned. So before that, they were just humming along just fine. All of a sudden, you shove the square peg of Melvin Gordon into the round hole, and it's just not working. So, you know, maybe you don't let go of Wisenhunt. Maybe you trade away Melvin Gordon and give Wisenhunt another shot. That's probably the route I would have gone if I was running the Chargers. But I am not running the Chargers. I am doing a podcast with you guys.
So Wisenhunt should have just kept cutting his own hair, because I'm my own barber, John. Joke's on you.
By the way, Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports that the Chargers have not announced a new offensive coordinator. He's not reporting that. That's just a fact. But my understanding is that quarterback coach Shane Steichen will call plays, though coach Anthony Lynn will be heavily involved and give input. Rappaport adds, when Lynn did this with the Bills, it was impressive. My initial reaction is no.
My initial reaction is this. A lot has to go wrong in the second half season for, I think, Anthony Lynn to lose his job. But if a lot does go wrong in the second half of the season, after he fires the offensive coordinator and he takes a bigger role in the offense, he's going to have no one to blame. So it almost feels like for his job security, it would have made sense not to fire Wisenhunt, because then you have that scapegoat at the end of the year. Or it's like how Dan Quinn fired all of his assistants in the offseason. Now we look at the defense and we say, that's Dan Quinn. Now if we look at the offense moving forward, I think we can all say, that's Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn, by the way, it was 2016. Remember, Rex Ryan basically quit. And Anthony Lynn took over as head coach, but he was OC before that. They had the number one rush offense in terms of yards, in terms of touchdowns, in terms of yards per attempt, and number two in terms of actual attempts. Passing, not quite so much. 30th in passing yards, 27th in passing touchdowns, 32nd in passing attempts. I'm just curious if he thinks that firing Ken Wisenhunt is going to magically help the Chargers run the ball well, because I don't think that's going to do anything. And also, I would add, Greg Rosenthal of NFL Media and I have been talking about this on Twitter a little bit lately. There's not nearly enough attention is being paid to the fact that Phillip Rivers, a potential Hall of Fame quarterback who's played with the Chargers his entire career, was traded by the Chargers because people are dorks about it. He's not under contract next year. And the Chargers are headed in a weird direction, and
I was going to ask you, are you worried that Phillip Rivers is kind of, I don't want to say washed, but
their offensive line is trash.
No, as you are the resident Phillip Rivers fan, and he doesn't look quite the same. And yes, maybe it's circumstances, but he doesn't look quite the same.
I thought that through the first, 4 weeks of the season, Rivers looked awesome, and then through the last 4 weeks of the season, he's looked like hot trash.
Sean, would you rather have Phillip Rivers or Mitchell Trubisky?
Phillip Rivers. I love Phillip Rivers.
And
you give up a first round pick for Rivers right now to go to the Bears, right?
No, because I think the Bears
don't have it.
You don't have a first round pick. That's right.
Brinson, to your point, I will say that I do feel like the quarterback contract situation and I'm going to include Tom Brady in this, that they were talked about over the summer, like the Rivers thing a lot shorter. We'll say 3 days. The Brady thing probably about a week. And then everyone just stopped talking about him. Nobody talked about Brady's contract for 8 weeks until it came up when they were playing last week. But for the first 8 weeks of the season, it was like everyone either ignored or forgot about the fact that little Brady is going to be a free agent in March. And the same thing with Rivers. So I feel like for some reason, no one's talking about either of these things. And, you know, Jason LaCanfora reported Sunday morning that, hey, Brady, if he does leave New England, could be eyeing a move out
Chargers?
To LA. Yeah.
See, and I'm not questioning JLC's reporting on that at all, but like Tom Brady would be a effing moron to go to the Chargers. Right. Hey, let's go somewhere where they have a terrible offensive line. Nobody can stay healthy. And they don't ever win football games. Don't do that, Tom. Don't do that. Like the Chargers can't even get past Bill Belichick to make it to the Super Bowl. You think, like, why would you go there? I will say this though, that Ryan, what do you think? I pose this to JLC and maybe to Dubin. Steelers give up a 2020 second round pick for Phillip Rivers.
What are you smoking? No,
you get him for 8 weeks. That's all. He's an 8 week rental trying to make a Super Bowl run.
No. A second-round pick? Are you crazy?
You replaced Mason Rudolph. He sucks.
They got to figure out what they have in Mason Rudolph anyway. He's going to be a backup. But
they got nothing.
Rivers couldn't.
They got nothing in Mason Rudolph.
I just said they got a backup.
You bring Rivers in.
No, I mean, I thought you were going to say wide receiver or something. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll listen. Because Juju Smith-Schuster, he's the number two. He's not a number one.
Second-round pick for Andy Dalton. Would you do it?
Yes, I would do that, of course.
I knew you would.
Get the hell out of here. That's insulting.
Look how mad you got. I will say this though about the Steelers quickly. I
don't want to talk about sarcastic it. Response to you and Brinson got so
I don't move long. I don't want to hear about
it. I want to say one more thing.
No, you're done. You don't get anything else. You don't get anything else. You know what you get? You get a big, fat.
And we're like afraid to go for it.
Thing of Joe Flacco.
We're now a 2-6 football team, and we're like afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill. You know, like who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with 1:40 left? They obviously got the field goal anyway. And once again, we're a 2-6 football team, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose a game. It's 3rd-and-5 at the end of the game. You know, it's who cares if they have a timeout there at the end or not? You know, getting in field goal range isn't that tough. You know, so you're just putting your defense in these bad situations, and I just felt like, what do we have to lose? Like, why can't we be aggressive in some of these situations? That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the game today.
So shortly thereafter, Joe Flacco was ruled out from the Week 9 game with a neck injury.
He is the snitch in mob movies who says, hey, come here, let's go out for dinner. Walks around the corner and gets his brains blown out. That's Joe Flacco.
I got to tell you, I don't know what happened like, if Joe Flacco's on like a heavy dose of CBD now or something. He looks great.
He did.
He's got like a lot of color to his face. His beard is fantastic. Hair looking sharp. He's looking really handsome.
Is CBD allowed by the NFL?
No, so I hope he's not doing that. Maybe he's just doing straight edibles.
You can go as Joe Flacco for Halloween.
I mean, I'm jealous. Joe Flacco's a handsome fella right now.
He looks like Clark Kent.
He does. He's very Clark Kitchen. That's right. So anyway, Joe Flacco made these comments. Those were after the game on Sunday night, after the Broncos blew a game they should have won against the Colts, blew another close game. Joe Flacco said those things. He was quickly ruled out. I mean, very quickly ruled out. Brandon Allen in, and
how many snaps do you think Brandon Allen's taken in his NFL career?
5? 0?
0.
11. Oh.
0 makes sense.
Yeah, if you're John Elway evaluating quarterbacks, makes a ton of sense.
Drew Lock still healthy? On IR? Nope. Can't come back yet. Still on IR.
He refused to come off IR is what I heard.
I mean, do you really think Joe Flacco's hurt, by the way?
Well, they made people sent out a bunch of tweets that made it sound like he was hurt. So it's a pretty long con, if not. It's a weird – the timing's certainly curious.
Schefter had one where he's like – he initially tweeted out, it was like, Joe Flacco has a herniated disc in his back. And he was like, a herniated disc in his neck. A herniated neck. It's neck. Sorry, neck. Very important.
I think it's one of those things where every NFL player has these injuries that don't show up on the injury report. And I'm sure there's something in his neck or his back or whatever that's probably bothered him at some point this year. And that was the reason they were able to list down. But I would assume Vic Fangio was not pleased with those comments, especially because they're coming from a, you know, bottom 10 quarterback that Vic Fangio got stuck with. And I think.
Please. Wasn't Flacco already there when he hired Fangio?
Yeah, but my point being that Fangio didn't engineer the trade for Flacco. You're saying Fangio should have turned down the job? Fangio's been waiting decades for an NFL job. He wasn't going to turn down anyone that got offered to him. But, like, as a Bears fan who obviously had Fangio as the defensive
coordinator. Fangio was hired first, so he signed off on it, man.
You don't know. John Elway's running the show there. Are you kidding me?
Get the hell out of here with this. Like, giving Vic Fangio a pass. Vic Fangio's been horrible this year. He's the reason the Broncos are garbage. Their defense sucks.
No, get out of here.
Yes, 100%. Their defense stinks, and they can't win close games because he's wearing a fanny pack, running around the sidelines, doesn't know what he's doing in close games.
Ryan agrees with me.
It's more Fangio.
The bigger problem in Denver is Flacco than Fangio.
No way.
And they have more problems than those two. But Fangio is not a bigger problem than Flacco.
Yeah, Elway's number one.
Yes. Well,
that's fine. That's a different problem. He's
with Flacco and Fangio. About the Flacco, Sean, whose fault was it more that they lost on Sunday to the Colts? Fangio or Flacco?
Flacco. How many points did Fangio's defense give up?
15.
He's the head coach, so he's kind of responsible for everything. You can't just say how much is because he's
He's saddled with a terrible quarterback.
But he's ultimately responsible for doing things like throwing passes on third and five.
Yeah, because Flacco wants to know why they're not more aggressive. It's because they don't have an offensive line who can't protect a statue back there who's not a good quarterback. That's why they can't be aggressive.
That is some Flacco slander. Brinson will not stand for that.
This is just insane. Sean's just a Fangio sycophant.
Are you kidding me? I want Fangio to get fired and come back to Chicago. This is all falling into place.
That's not happening. Jeff Pagano's doing a great job, and you're keeping him around.
I was talking about they're regressing, as you like to remind me.
They already regressed. Anyway, all right, look, the Broncos are done. The Broncos are trash. Let's move along. Matt Ryan expected back after the bye. Do you expect Dan Quinn after the bye?
Well, you played the clip yesterday from owner Arthur Blank. He seemed like he was ready to move on. I don't know what has to happen in terms of the hamster wheel turning and changes are coming, but – I wouldn't bring him back, but maybe he just doesn't want to upset the apple cart, as old people like to say.
That's definitely something he would say.
I say it all the time.
You know, I don't like upsetting the apple cart, so we're going to let Dan coach nine more games.
He needs to flip the apple cart over.
Speaking of apple carts, if you like apple carts, you should build one at Home Depot.
Who doesn't love apple pie?
Has nothing to do with an apple cart. Kyle Allen will start again this week. Is it the right move, Sean?
If the move is about Cam not being completely healthy, then yes, because we said all
the Titans, you try to win with him against the Titans, and you bring Cam back against the
Panthers. Yeah, because don't judge him too much from playing terrible against the 49ers defense that's made every quarterback look terrible. Kyle Allen's good enough to quarterback the team until Cam Newton is 100% ready.
All right, that's all we need to hear. Let's move on to some trades.
Real quick, Cam's been out for two months. That's all.
Come on.
All I want to say is that, like, it's week to week, and so you don't kind of think about how long he's been out, but after this week, he'll have been out for 2 months.
That's about right for a Lisfranc injury, though. That's a foot injury. That's
Dr. Branson.
It's an 8-week injury.
It was the first day of medical school, right?
That's right. You learned that in orientation.
Just go to brofootballdoc.com and you can check it out.
All right, let's
go. Trades happened. Again, we will have a trade deadline podcast if enough stuff happens. Do not tweet us and ask if we're going to have an emergency Trent Williams podcast. We won't. If Trent Williams gets traded, that is enough to create a trade deadline podcast, right? We agree on that, right?
Who is he traded to? Because if he traded the Bengals, then no.
I would say if AJ Green is traded.
Oh, yeah.
Cordy Glenn.
Phillip Rivers to the Steelers.
Phillip Rivers to the Steelers would be an emergency podcast. We will drop whatever we're doing and we will do an emergency podcast. And it will be me teabagging you via video the entire time. All right, so this is a good question from Debo. Who is the worst player that could possibly be traded that would cause us to do a trade deadline?
I got it. Devontae Parker.
Yeah, Devontae Parker. That's the answer. That's right.
I would say CJ Beathard.
That's a good name.
If the Bears get a quarterback, I feel like that would warrant an emergency podcast.
Ryan Pace gives up a draft pick for a backup quarterback, I'm going to absolutely lose my...
He would be a backup quarterback. That's the thing.
But wait a second. Yeah. Would this make more sense, a second-round pick, which the Bears have for Phillip Rivers?
I don't want the trade for Phillip Rivers.
You said you love Phillip Rivers.
Yes. The Bears, as currently constructed, can't go on a playoff run right now. I don't care who's their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That makes more sense than Pittsburgh, in my mind.
All right. The Cardinals acquired, this actually happened while I was recording with JLC. The Cardinals got Kenyon Drake. And as we were it was sort of hard to unpack, it's like, why would the Cardinals do that? Turns out that Chase Edmonds is going to be out, quote, a few weeks. I don't, Maybe that's from Adam Schefter. I'm not entirely sure. It's a conditional pick back to Miami. The interesting thing about this, Breach, is that the pick is, I hope you know this,
a seventh, sixth rounder?
No, it's one of the picks they got in the Josh Rosen trade. So they ended up sending the fifth round pick. They got the, that just seemed like Breach's wheelhouse.
I like that you thought that he would just know that. Like, you guys had some sort of like Vulcan mind meld going on, and you just lobbed up an alley oop that he wasn't ready for.
So this is really weird, but like, you know, Devo slacks me during the show, and like, he's like three times in the last 24 hours he slacked me about something about Breach. Like, asked Breach this, and Breach has answered it before he finished. Like, but he did it happen again during this show.
If you turn around Breach's camera, he has a wall of monitors all looking at us, all looking at everything. He knows what's going on. Don't act so surprised.
It's like the Dark Knight Rises when Bruce Wayne's in there with Morgan Freeman. They have all the TVs up, guys.
But so anyway, they traded Josh Rosen to the Dolphins for a second and a fifth. This fifth comes back. So my thought process is this. The Dolphins are like, we got to get rid of Kenyon Drake. We want to get the highest pick back we can. They're regretting the Josh Rosen trade, so they ship Drake over there just to try and get something back and recoup something out of that trade. Make sense? Because it's probably going to be the first pick in the fifth round.
I get it, but I mean, they have like 12 picks now. They have 100 million in change and salary cap.
I'm saying it makes less sense from the Cardinals' perspective.
Yeah, why are the Cardinals doing this?
That's what I'm saying. I think Kime's doing Flores and Greer a favor.
I'd love to see what the conditions are for moving this pick up from the sixth round to the fifth round, because Kenyon Drake might only play one or two games before either David Johnson or Chase Edmonds.
He's starting running back on Thursday.
Well, right, on Thursday. But after that, 2 weeks from now, he might not see the field for the rest of the season. There's no way they're getting the conditional, meeting the conditions of the conditional pick.
Brenton, let me ask, are you worried? Do you own any David Johnson stock in fantasy?
Zero, but I own a bunch of Chase Edmonds.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you about David Johnson. Does this make you worried more about – I know David Johnson's already not going to play Thursday.
I would be worried that David Johnson will be out for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, because I have a David Johnson on one of my teams, and the trade made me – I'm not worried about David Johnson
when he comes back. They've signed somebody else.
When David Johnson comes back, he's still going to be their guy, and he's also the kind of running back that he can be on the field with another running back at the same time. But my concern now is that this isn't just this Thursday he's out. He's going to be out another week and maybe another one after that.
The Cardinals schedule, by the way, so they have Thursday. Like, the concern for me is, like, if you miss like, Thursday's not a big deal because that's a four-day week. I get that. See, remember, their bye is week 12, and they play the 49ers twice in the next 3 weeks. I think they're just going to sit out David Johnson and Chase Edmonds through the bye.
You might as well not even play David Johnson, though.
Right. Why would you play against the 49ers and get the crap kicked out of them? And you're at Tampa, so you got to fly all the way down to Tampa. I bet we don't see David Johnson or Chase Edmonds until week 13 against the Rams.
And then coming out of the bye, they have three straight home games. They don't have to get on a plane. They don't have to travel. Yeah. I don't think that's a crazy theory, Brinson.
And then you just trot out Kenyon Drake, get the crap kicked out of him against the 49ers.
I will want to say, for the David Johnson owners, don't panic, especially if you're in a playoff position, because then that's setting up in the playoffs. He actually has some decent matchups. You got the Rams, Steelers, Browns, and then the Seahawks, which would be in most people's championship. And the Seahawks defensively right now simply aren't just any good. So I definitely wouldn't – I mean, it's not good news, obviously, but he's – it's funny because he emerged onto the scene as that guy who won people fantasy championships by exploding down the stretch, and it could potentially be that same thing late in the year.
You could even be a trade target too. I guess people still have another trade deadlines, right? I mean, like, go out and, you know, see what you can get from him. Leonard Williams. The first ever Jets-Giants trade occurred on whatever day it was, Monday. Leonard Williams traded from the Jets to the Giants. Of course, he was a former number six overall pick by the Jets. My God, Mike Maccagnan, Ryan, he was bad at drafting football players. 2015 and 2016 were terrible. Jets are paying $4 million of the $6 million left on this year. He'll be an unrestricted free agent because this was his fifth-year option. Two sacks in the last 18 games. I mean, what? It's a fourth rounder if he signs an extension with New York. What is Dave Gettleman doing, and where do you fall on this deal?
Well, their defense is terrible, and Leonard Williams isn't a bad player, and I think it makes some sense in terms of just bolstering the front four or the front three. I have no issue with it. I mean, the cost isn't prohibitive. If they don't like him, they can let him go. I'm fine with it. I mean, it's nothing that anyone should be super excited about. The Giants have plenty of other issues, mostly on the back end. Maybe they make a move for someone in the secondary, but yeah, I'm fine with it. It's pretty meh, but it makes them a better team slightly.
Sean?
It doesn't make sense to me if they let him walk in free agency. And I know there's a condition attached to that trade, right? If they keep him, they have to give another pick. Because it doesn't make sense to me if they're just going to rent him, because they're not a team that needs a rental, because they're not going to make a playoff push this season. I agree with Ryan, though. I think he's a slightly underrated player at this point, because of how high he was picked and because he hasn't gotten many sacks since his second season. And sacks is obviously the stat that most people look at when it looks at defensive linemen. According to Pro Football Focus, since 2016, he's actually third in the league in run stops, tied with Linval Joseph, one spot behind Akeem Hicks, and one spot ahead of Jarrell Casey. So I think he's a good player. And I think they need to try to re-sign him. But the problem is that he might want a decent amount of money, or at the very least, he might want a one-year prove-it type of contract. So I guess I will judge this deal when I see how they handle him in the offseason, because I don't think a rental makes sense for them at all right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's weird to do the rental thing. Breece, you want anything on Leonard Williams?
I would love to know if there was even a market here, or if the Giants just threw two draft picks in the Jets' face and said, hey, give us that guy and get this deal done. Because it's just a little odd. You know, we were just saying it's the first time these two teams have ever pulled off a deal. Leonard Williams is about to be a free agent, so if they don't get a contract, this is just a very, very odd trade all the way around. Doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean it's good. It's just everything about this is odd.
Connor Hughes reported of New Jersey Advanced Media reported that there was not a robust market. And so it's like, did you really need to give up a third round pick for him and maybe a third and a fourth rounder? Like, if you give him a third and a fourth rounder for Leonard Williams, who you could have just signed in the open market, this that's a question. It's like almost too cheek to like bash Dave Gettleman. So I don't want to just dive in on it. You know what I mean?
I was going to criticize kind of the Jets. I mean, I think they got good return for this or whatever, but it is kind of funny that the Jets in the offseason were like big buyers going out getting CJ Mosley and obviously Le'Veon Bell. And now they are just selling off assets like crazy. And like Robbie Anderson could be gone and just like all these. It's just like it goes to show again, like the teams that in the offseason are the winners because they get all these players. Most of the time, I feel like it doesn't work out and they're not good.
And different GMs too. Like Mike Maccagnan was obviously terrible at his job. I mean, like his 2015, 2016 draft classes, I think there's like one guy left or something like that. Okay. You know, there are more names on the block. There's rumors about Josh Norman, OJ Howard, CJ Beathard, Trent Williams, but we can get all of those to if they are eventually moved. Let's run through very quickly division odds and win totals. We're going to start in the NFC East. Let me know if you like anything on these division odds, let me know. And if not, we'll discuss the division, the win totals first, where these teams kind of sit in terms of winning them. NFC East, Cowboys minus 130, Eagles plus 100, Giants 30-1, Redskins, that is 500-1.
50,000, close.
Nothing there really interests me.
I would think about the Eagles. Yeah. I like getting them even money and looking at their schedule. I don't think it's that crazy to think that they could end up winning this division. I mean, they just bashed a good Buffalo team. And then after they play the Patriots in week 11, well, let me just say this. They close the season with the Dolphins, Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants. So you take the Cowboys out of there, or if you win that Cowboys game, that's five very, very, very winnable games. And then if you steal one from the Seahawks or Patriots, all of a sudden you're at 10, 11 wins. So I don't think it'd be crazy to see the Eagles win the division.
Sean, you raised your hand. Did you have something?
I was scratching my hair.
Okay. You don't have any hair, so that's a lie. moving along. By the way, I would point out that the Eagles, their win total was 10. They're 4-4. Breach pointed out their easy schedule, but still getting to 10 is going to be really difficult at 4-4. Cowboys at 9. Win total 4-3 are probably going to get there. I would think that they get there. Giants at 6. They do get the Redskins and Dolphins and the Eagles twice. They also have the Jets in week 10. So I think the Eagles can get.
I guess I do have something to say. I will feel. I actually need to see what happens on Tuesday because I think their secondary is such a big issue. But it wouldn't surprise me. What was it, the Mike Florio report that they have something fun planned or whatever?
The Eagles.
The Eagles. So I would like to see what the Eagles do at the trade deadline because I think they seriously need to upgrade that secondary for me to take them seriously over the Cowboys. Because if they don't do that, I don't think they can win the division.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And then the Redskins at 1-7, 6 wins, probably not going to do anything. NFC North odds. Packers minus 185. That is steep. Vikings plus 160.
Ooh,
I would have interest in that, obviously. The Lions 25-1, and oh no, Bears at 33-1.
It's not 33,000-1.
Better chance Mr. Trubisky wins MVP than the Bears one.
Well, no, that's not true, because Mr. Trubisky to win MVP is 5,000,000-1 at this point. Single worst bet. There's nothing. Nothing I regret more than attaching my name to, like, hey, by the way, we moved the Mitch Trubisky line.
Yeah. You own it.
You were clamoring for attention on that.
You hate to see it. Yeah. I guess we'll Venmo you $5 later, Ryan. Packers at 9 wins coming into the season. They are 7-1. That is going over if you bet that. Good job by you. Bears at 9.5, 3-4. That is going way under, right? Bears are not winning 9 games. We agree, Sean?
Yes. They got to win 10 to go over, so they need 7 more.
Yeah.
Probably, they'll probably end up with like 6 or 7.
Do you think the Bears will get the line 6.5?
Ooh. Will the Bears cross over the Lions win total of 6.5?
Yes. I think the Bears get to 7.
Okay.
Vikings at 9 wins before the season. They're 6-2. They should get that as well. Lions at 6.5, 3-3-1. You don't get the half for the one. Just so you know. You don't get the half. They're not at 3.5. They're at 3, unfortunately.
So if they get 3-3-10, you lose.
That's right. You would not get five half games. NFC South. Saints minus 800. Panthers plus 5-1. Bucks 20-1. Falcons 200-1. I wouldn't take the Panthers. They were 6-1 before the season, so why would I take them now? Bucks are terrible. Saints 10.5 wins. They're going to go over that. They're 7-1. Falcons 8.5 wins. They're going way under that at 1-7. Panthers are a dogfight for 7.5, and I got me and my buddies on that one big time. So please.
I like them over on that.
Yeah. I think so too. They need to win 4 more games, but. I need to win here, guys.
Real quick on the Falcons, because I don't know if we'll see any teams because we're going through all of them that are like this, but they literally only have to lose 1 more game and they're under pays. So we're only going into week 9 and the Falcons under is about to pay off. So that's pretty pathetic. That's a fireable offense.
Yeah, John, I have a bad news for you. It's probably not the only team we'll talk about like that, but we'll find out.
Foreshadowing.
If you get to week nine and you cash an NFL over under, that's a great feeling. Like you took the Falcons under, you're feeling great.
What do you think if you asked Arthur Blank that in the press conference on Sunday night, how his response may have changed?
Hey, Arthur, did you hammer the Falcons under? Cause I did. Is that okay? Buccaneers 6.5 wins.
I think they're going over.
Really?
They're a team that backdoors everything. And Jameis Winston will throw 50 interceptions this year, but he will throw 42 touchdowns. I feel like they're just going to find a way to do it.
That was Brinson's Jameis rookie year prediction, that he was going to throw 5,000 interceptions.
5,000. It said 30 interceptions. He almost came. Jason Light called me out on that in a press conference, too. He said he used the quote 30 interceptions, but Jameis had like 25. Like, F you, Jason.
And the Buccaneers still play the Falcons twice. So, I mean, that's helpful.
Wait, when are those games? Oh, one more thing I was going to point out on the Giants really quickly. This is kind of dumb, but I think that it warrants mentioning for fantasy purposes. We talked about it on the podcast with Heath, I think. They have the Dolphins and the Redskins in weeks 15 and 16. Daniel Jones is probably a free agent in your fantasy league. Stash that dude on your bench. Grab Darius Slayton. That's the easiest possible schedule. Those guys are going to put up points in the fantasy playoffs.
Nice.
So if you need to fill something, grab one of those guys. You got
actual real good advice from Brinson.
How about that?
Thank you.
And then trade for Phillip Rivers. Okay, what's next?
Well, I was going to look and see what old the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ooh. One of their Falcons games is week 17. Unfortunate. Lions and Texans. The final 2 weeks of the season. So not great for fantasy purposes.
Texans is fine.
That's fine. Yeah, that's true. The Texans defense is bad. NFC West, 49ers minus 165, Seahawks plus 325, Rams plus 350, Cardinals 50-1.
I love the Seahawks.
At 325?
They're two games back already.
Yeah. Hey, the problem is Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer. Those are the two big issues. Yeah. So if you can get over those, then I love it. But I don't. They're
just get over the coach and the play caller. No big deal.
Every week they say we have to coach better.
Well, they haven't played the 49ers yet. That's a huge advantage. So, like, if they get the Buccaneers this week at home, and then Monday Night Football in Week 10 at San Francisco. Now, we know San Francisco is good, but if Seattle can go and beat them.
Home field's not that great, though.
Right.
It's not much of an advantage.
If Seattle wins that game and they beat the Buccaneers this week, all of a sudden their odds would be like plus 150, I think. So if you like the Seahawks, now would be the time to take them.
What about the Rams?
But let me just say the flip side of all this is that the 49ers are 7-0. They still play the Cardinals twice, and I think we all think that they're a much more talented team than Arizona. So say they win those two games. They still play the Falcons. So now you're at 10 wins, and if they just steal two more wins, that's 12-4, and, you know, that's going to be tough for the Seahawks or Rams. The Rams would have to go 8-1 or 7-1 the rest of the way to get to 12-4. So it's just – it's a lot to ask.
And by the way, the Seahawks defense, as we've covered extensively, is not very good. They almost lost to the Bengals at home, which is insane. They did lose to the Saints at home. They should have lost to the Rams at home, and then they lost to the Ravens at home. Like, they could be 0-4 at home right now. That's wild.
I do want to say, though, I'm very thankful the Seahawks did that against the Bengals because it convinced John Breach that Andy Dalton might break the all-time or the single-season passing yards record.
Andy Dalton, fourth in the NFL in passing yards.
Yeah.
Precious Prince Patrick
Mahomes. I was looking at that, and then – if you look at his yards per attempt, and I think there's only like three quarterbacks who are worse than him.
Disgust me.
Real quick about the Seahawks. Fun fact, because this is all they're known for is their home field advantage. They are 0-5 against the spread in their past five home games.
You jinxed them, Breach, with the whole
automatic.
With the September game against the Saints.
That's when he said the Saints had no chance to make the playoffs, as Brinson likes to say.
All right, hold on. Let's keep moving. Win totals. Rams 10.5 wins. They're not getting to 11 at 5-3, right?
Mm-mm.
Probably not. Seahawks 6-2. Are the Seahawks 6-2?
Yeah.
Way over, baby.
Yeah, crush it. Why did I hammer that over? We were talking
all offseason.
I know. It's infuriating. The 49ers were 8, and they are 8-0. They've already hit it. Sean. Big egg on your face.
Yeah, big elf.
Cardinals.
Wait, the 49ers are 7-0.
7-0. Right.
So they got to win two more games because 8 would be a push.
Fine, that's fine. I'll mail an egg to Sean's house. He can smash it on his face. Cardinals are 3-4-1. Their over is 5.5. That push hurts them. They got to play the Rams once. No, it's Rams twice, 49ers twice, and the Seahawks once in their remaining games. So that's going to be tough. The AFC East, there's no value here. Patriots are minus like 55, 1-55.
That's value. I would take that. They're winning the division.
You have to lay $5,500 to win 100.
That's my favorite bet out of all
it's,
the bets.
It's free money. It's free money.
It's a free $100, but you might as well just deposit it in like a mutual fund. It's stupid. I'm just saying,
out of all the bets.
You're going to give a casino $5,500 to hold until January 1st so you can go pick up $100.
If you said you had to bet one of those, I would bet that one.
Okay, well, you go ask your parents for $5,500 and tell them that you can take it to.
It's a 1.8% return on your investment, Brinson. It's not bad.
It's actually not bad considering it's October 30th right now. Patriots 8-0, and their win total is 11. They are going to hit that easily. Pretty surprising. The Bills are going to smash it. They're 5-2. Theirs are 7. The Dolphins, no wins. They're not getting to 5. And the Jets are not getting to 8 wins either, although we at least think they'll make a push for it. The AFC North, these odds could change based on what happened, but I don't think they'll swing too badly. The Ravens are minus 380 coming into Monday night. The Steelers are plus 550, Browns plus 550, and the Bengals are 500-1. Anything out there interest you, John? Breach, maybe?
I mean, when I see 500-1, I do want to put everything in my bank account on it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be that crazy guy.
Smart.
That puts all my money on the Bengals. I will say, though, it is interesting that Steelers and Browns have the same odds here. And if I had to pick a team out of those two that could win the division, I would, as crazy as it sounds, I'd probably go with the Browns.
That is insane. Did you see the game Sunday? Did you see Freddie Kitchens?
Did I see Baker Mayfield get picked off on a shovel pass? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with Breach. I would take the Browns over the
Browns. They do have the Broncos, Bills, Steelers, Dolphins, Steelers, Bengals, Cardinals, Ravens, Bengals. There's like one good team in there.
Two words, Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Wait, Freddie
Outhouse. I was just going to say Outhouse. Yeah, I forgot about it, that I made that great joke.
I do want to point out.
Wrapped all over.
For the listeners.
The Browns are definitely winning six of their last nine games or something like that.
0% nice. Chance.
I do want to point out for the listeners who aren't looking at what we're looking at, Devo, who compiles the rundown for us, has put all the teams' record, their win total, and then their actual record in parentheses. And he did it by the book for every single team except for the Bengals. He put LOL.
You know what's going to hurt? You know what's going to hurt, though? I actually did all that during the Monday Night Football game.
No one believes you, though. So
Devo, tell them.
Confirmed.
Oh. Wow, yes!
Oh, you know what? It's going to be the last laugh when the Bengals hit their over.
There's no chance of that happening.
They have a week 9 bye. Then they play the Ravens.
Oh, here we go.
They're going to be coming off that Patriots game. They're going to be so high. They're not going to. It's a trap game. They can beat the Ravens. They're going to. It's going to be. No,
you think they're going to win 7 football games?
I think.
Do you want to go 7? Double or nothing on the bet breach?
I think the Bengals are going to go 2-14.
There you go.
What's the second win?
They play the Dolphins and the Jets.
I think you said, what's their effing win? I was like, Jesus, Sean.
No, what's the second win? I can buy.
They could beat the Jets. They play the Jets. They play the Browns twice.
You just said the Browns are the second best team in that division. Have a chance to go to the playoffs.
The division is horse manure.
We definitely said before the season that the Bengals were good value for like the first overall pick. And they're looking like it.
Yes,
you're going to lose to the Dolphins.
We thought we were just trolling him every single week, but we weren't trolling him.
I think they're great value to win the division.
10 wins.
I never said such a thing, ever.
All right, moving along.
Browns
9 wins, they're not getting there. They need to win 8 of their last 9 games to get there. It's not happening. Steelers 9 wins, they're probably not getting there. They get the right?
No, they're not getting. Are you crazy? You just saw Mason Rudolph, the first half. They're not doing that.
A Browns or Steelers push at this point would be a miracle. You send that for the heartbeat. Ravens are 5-2. They will more than likely get to their over their 8.5. Bengals against 6. LOL. The AFC South, Colts and Texans even at +140. The Jags are 6-1. The Titans are 7-1. Anything? Preach, Jags.
Give me my Jags money, Brinson. Give me all my Jags money. Look.
I don't actually hate that.
They are 4-4 right now. If you give me a 4-4 team that's basically 1.5 games out of first place, 6-1 odds, are you kidding me? You're never going to get that from a team that's 1.5 games out of first place. They play the Texans in London. You know who never loses in London? The Jacksonville Jaguars. And then they play the Colts. They can beat the Colts. So, I mean, the next 2 weeks are going to decide whether or not this is a good bet. So you'll find out pretty quickly if you do make this bet. But I do like this a lot because they have a lot of winnable games at the end of their schedule. They play the Bucks, Chargers, Raiders, Falcons. I think they're going to be in this playoff race, in the divisional race for the rest of the season. I don't know if they'll win it, but at 6-1, I would absolutely take it.
Interesting. Just so you know, last year they lost to the Eagles 24-18 in London.
Timeout. They won the 3 before that, but last year was when they almost started an international incident because they got drunk at a London pub, ran up a $64,000 tab, then walked out on it, and then $64,000 tab. Then like 5 players got detained by British police. That was just a disaster. I don't know what was happening. Doug Marone lost control of the team, so I am not counting that game in this Jacksonville's unbeatable in London streak.
That's what I would do if I were you too, by the way. But they always do the Jaguars games at 9:30 for some reason. I actually don't mind the Jaguars or Titans in this spot at like 6-1 or 7-1. If you wanted to splash on something, I would avoid it. I wouldn't take the Colts or Texans at +140. Just not great value. The Texans, 5-3, 8.5 wins. Are they going to get that over? It's a dogfight.
Yeah.
JJ Watt's done for the year. Deshaun Watson.
They have Deshaun Watson. As long as Deshaun Watson's healthy, they're winning more than 8 games.
I agree with that.
I don't know, but if you don't have any pass rush and your secondary sucks, it's kind of tough.
Been falling apart. Gary
Deshaun, I called breach Deshaun. Deshaun got kicked in the face through a pass with one eye. You don't need a pass rush. You just need Deshaun, and you only need one eye, Deshaun.
Here's the Texans schedule the rest of the way. At Jaguars in London, bye. At Ravens.
Loss.
OK, Counting the Ravens as a win?
You're counting that as an automatic win, right?
Get out of here, Wilson.
Colts at home.
You love Lamar.
That could be a loss.
Patriots at home.
That could be a loss.
Broncos at home. That's a
okay,
win.
Wilson, do your win.
At Titans, at Buccaneers, Titans at home.
There's
Titans
will
probably split with them.
There's four wins in there.
All right. Yeah, but I'm saying
there's no predicting the AFC South.
I mean, and look, Deshaun's got to play. I want Deshaun to be healthy, but if he doesn't get healthy, not going to happen.
And let me just say real quick, Brinson, you reading off that schedule actually makes me feel even better about betting the Jags, because that is brutal with the Ravens, Colts, and Patriots all in a row.
Breach, what are you going to do, though, when they
– Jaguars have to play the Patriots four times the rest of the year.
What are you going to do, though, when they start Nick Foles in 3 weeks?
Oh, the Jags?
Yeah.
I'm off the bandwagon. I'm tearing up my ticket. I don't even care if they're still possible to win it.
Do you guys notice? I feel like Breach always says Jags now and not the full name.
Jaguars.
Pronounce the actual name.
I've already said it twice on this podcast. I don't say it. I'm not going to say it every time.
How do you say it?
Jaguars.
Nice.
Okay. Well done.
Breach is actually English.
The Jags are at eight. Eight wins was their total. They're 4-4. Dogfight for them. Titans are 4-4 as well. 8 wins. Dogfight for them. Colts are cruising to their over. 7.5 wins adjusted after the Andrew Luck thing. If you took 9.5, you're not even that screwed. They might win 10 games. Pretty easy schedule. AFC West. Chiefs -400. Raiders 7-1. Chargers 7-1. Broncos 18-1. Anything there interest anyone? It shouldn't. Don't take anything. The Broncos is the worst bet on the planet. 18-1. Get out of here. Chargers suck. The Raiders aren't winning that division. The Raiders stink too. Chiefs, 10.5 wins. That's going to be tough. They're 5-3 right now. Vikings coming to town. We don't know what's happening with Mahomes. They can get there, but I think it's going to be tough. The Chargers is not happening. 9.5 wins, 3-5 right now. Broncos, laugh riot, 7 wins. They're 2-6. Raiders is a real dogfight. I remember on this podcast, I took it live during the Antonio Brown stuff. Ryan, do the Raiders get 7 wins this year?
That's the thing. Out of everyone in this division, the Raiders are going to be the only team that has a chance to go over on their win totals. Look, man, the Raiders are playing a lot better than anyone thought they would outside of Brinson, apparently. And they could have won a couple football games they lost in the last few weeks. I'll give John Gruden the benefit of the doubt and say they do get the win total. They do go over 6.5. But, I mean, that's a moral victory for that organization after being truly terrible for however many years, discounting the 1-12-4 season that we all remember.
If you walk through their schedule, they beat the Broncos week one. They were up on the Chiefs in week two, manhandled by the Vikings in week three, beat the Colts in week four, beat the Bears in London in week five. We're in a really kind of a closer game than I think that people realize against the Packers in week six, or week seven, and then had the Texans in week eight. By the way, their last home game, September 15th.
Yeah. I mean, that's worth noting because we were up clowning them for being away for 4 months to play football.
Can I make my quick schedule pitch for the Chiefs hitting the over? Because I think they can lose 2 more games and still hit their over. And if you look at their schedule, assuming Mahomes comes back, let's say after the Vikings game, at least by then. So they play the Vikings. I think we can say back very well, especially Mahomes is not playing. That's a loss. Titans, I think that's a win. At Chargers, I would like them to win that game. Raiders, I would like them to win. At New England, loss. Broncos, win. We were looking at that Bears game in Chicago as a tough game at the beginning of the year. Now I don't think that's a tough game. Win. And then they finish with the Chargers at home. So I think if Mahomes comes back in the next 2 weeks, I think there's a chance they get to 11 wins. I think probably 10 is more likely, but I don't think the over is dead there.
I don't see a lineup for this. I think I saw Minnesota +2.5. If you can find Minnesota plus points, take the Vikings plus the points.
Even if Mahomes is playing, like how is he going to be able to move? Like how healthy is everyone else? And the Chiefs are really banged up right now besides Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure are. All right. Okay. We flew through those. Good job, everybody. We got a couple of quick 5-star notes. Big West 1124 says my favorite podcast. Absolutely love this podcast. I listen every day as I travel for work. Will Brinson cracks me up. So much, in fact, that my friends and I text each other after we listen with our, quote, favorite Brinson quote of the day. Keep up the great work, guys.
Brinson, did you write that? Did you write that?
That's weird. There's no question there. I just wanted to put that review in. Good job, Big West. Thanks, buddy. Radinger64 says, very factual, 5 stars. Thank you. What do you guys think about Anthony Brown of the Cowboys for Solomon Thomas of the 49ers? I think what he means is, would you make that trade?
Yeah, that's how I took it. How'd you take it?
I
think there's only one interpretation of that.
Well, I wanted to grab it and put it in before the trade deadline, Ryan. You see. So.
Okay. Even more reason to think that they were talking
about it. What do you think about Anthony Brown?
I guess the 49ers need some secondary help, and Solomon Thomas is sort of the odd man out in that front line, the former first round pick. And the Cowboys just got Michael Bennett, so maybe there's less of a need for Solomon Thomas. But if you're in dire need of defensive linemen, I guess it makes some sense. But it's not like the Cowboys don't need help in the secondary as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it'll happen, but certainly worth discussing.
I don't think the 49ers would give up on Solomon Thomas that quick. That would be my take, is that, like, if you trade Solomon Thomas for a former six-round pick, even one who, you know, can help build your secondary, you're going to get blasted for it. And
he doesn't play a lot. He's not. I mean, they have
important though.
They have Brown. They have Armstead. They obviously have Bosa.
And yeah, but like if Bosa gets dinged up, maybe you need Thomas to come in.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, well, what if Jerry Jones calls up and offers Anthony Brown and a fifth-round pick for Solomon Thomas?
There you go.
Still think you're saying no.
I feel like I'm not just messing with that defense. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about how they need help in the secondary. It hasn't really shown up yet so far. Like, why would you mess with what they have?
And Witherspoon's coming back in a few weeks.
I mean, I personally really like Solomon Thomas coming out of Stanford. Clearly, he hadn't played that well, but he's still 24 years old. So I'm not giving up on a 24-year-old former third overall pick. It's just a bad look for the. It's a bad vibe. Don't mess. As my buddy Garrett likes to say, don't mess with happy. Okay, finally, Walking Creeper, that's his Apple Podcast name. I'm 12. All right, cool. Thank you, Walking Creeper. And I listen to every podcast you guys do. If you were drafted in the NFL, what round would you go? In what round and by who? And what college would you go to? Love the podcast, Jonathan. I think people need to check their iTunes names or their Apple Podcast names more often, because you don't realize it until you do the review, and then it's like Sean J. Waggy 69 69 69 or something like that, or like Johnny B. Bad 18.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that, Brinson?
Exactly. What's wrong with that? Check your iTunes name. Ryan, we'll start with you, because you've been to college most recently when your kids went. What college would you go to? It's got to be a college where they have athletics, not some rinky-dink school like William & Mary. If you were drafting the NFL, what round would you go, and what team would you want to play for? Perfect world. This is not like I'm going to William & Mary and playing with Mike Tomlin. You got to pick your path.
That is the perfect world.
So disrespectful for someone who's definitely going to say, I want to go play with Philip Rivers at NC State.
No, I don't
want to play. Let's see. Like I grew up in North Carolina, as many of you know, some of you don't. I fantasize about going out west and playing sports. Like Stanford was my sort of big thing, so I would go to Stanford, the William & Mary of the Northern California.
Disgusting. Stanford.
Oh, you went to Cal. Cal would be number two, but if I knew Sean was gonna be there. So
and what Stanford, round? What team?
Well, I mean, of the four of us, I'm definitely the best athlete.
Wait, oh.
If you can't see the look at the stain on our face.
We have not torn our ACLs twice, Ryan.
I was going to say, what about your ugly knee history? Like, and teams are going to be factoring that.
You have to factor that in.
Oh, so maybe we should decide what round you go in. So I think
that makes more sense. There
you're basically Marcus Lattimore, so I'm thinking like sixth round. Like you've got like.
I was going to say round four.
I was going to say four also. Four
There's like worries about, you know, how his knee long term is going to hold up. But if it stays healthy, you could see him, you know, having some
And
value.
My 4.0 grade point average makes you. Gives you pause about whether I'm fully committed to the NFL.
People call Ryan a coach's son.
So you're a risky pick who's a speedster. You're definitely one of the Raiders.
Yeah, what position is he playing? I think that's important, too.
Cornerback. Ryan's a cornerback out of Stanford, going to play for the Raiders, drafting the
– Hey, I'm Richard Sherman. He's a fifth-round pick, right? Nice.
He also played receiver, so you got to
– There you go. He's valedictorian. All right,
I feel like I just have to say Cal, right? But if I wasn't going to Cal, it would be UW, because my sister played soccer there, and I grew up in Seattle. I, not to steal Breach's thunder here, and Breach, you can say kicker, but I think I would be coming out as a kicker because I played soccer and that's the only thing I can do in football that is halfway decent is kick field goals. So I think I'd be a kicker, which probably means I'd go undrafted unless the Buccaneers are interested in me, in which case I'd be a second round
or the Raiders.
So what team are you going to? Or the Bears. You might be a first round pick by the Bears right now.
They don't have a first round.
Bears draft him in the first round and he pulls up the first triple doink.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. You get
you know what actually happens is they draft me and then they sign Carly Lloyd as just a free agent to give her a shot and then she beats me out in training camp.
No, they sign you. You have this miraculous first rookie season, best rookie like year, rest year in rookie kicking history, and then you like completely whiff the ball on a kick to win a playoff game.
Charlie Brown.
I mean, for the record,
And then the holder rips off his helmet and it's Jay Cutler and he yanked the ball away right at the last second.
That's my dream come true. But for the record, I think I would be, I think I'd be okay just kicking normally, but in pressure situations, I'd be terrible because I played soccer my whole life. I was terrible at PKs. It was nerve wracking. It's so hard. I don't think I could be able to make a like game on the line field goal.
So how did you become a college kicker?
Kicker? Have you seen college kickers? They suck.
Yeah, but they at least like 10% of them. You're at a big college. You would have to come out of a small
school. Kickers usually field aren't that great.
One of them's NFL.
Them Georgia.
Right. And two of them went to the NFL. My dad.
I did not mean to
start. Three of them were in the NFL. Ryan Longwell went to Cal. Four of them are in the NFL. Doug Bryan. I just named four Cal kickers that have been in the NFL. Said they're terrible. Okay.
All right, Breach, you're up.
I don't want to take Sean. I don't want to be in the same position as him, so I'll be a punter. And
I was going to do. Damn it.
Why are you guys setting the bar so low?
You know what? Okay, fine. I'll be a wide receiver.
There you go.
And
slot guy.
If Julian Edelman can cut it in the NFL, I'll make it. And because Julian Edelman came out of a MAC school, I will also come out of a MAC school, Miami of Ohio. They've produced plenty of NFL talent. I can't.
You can't go to your same school.
You got to pick a different school.
All right. Then where did Antonio Brown go? Central Michigan?
Where'd your dad go?
He went to Cal. So I'm not going to go to the same school as Sean. We can't come out in the same draft.
Sean went to UW. You can go to Cal.
Because I can't go to the same school.
I'll go to Central Michigan.
Breach, could you handle the pressure?
You chose Central Michigan.
Does your dad have records at Cal?
I think he's like the third or fourth all-time leading scorer.
Oh, these are all these good Cal kickers. Right. Could you handle the pressure of being the second Breach at Cal to kick?
That's a lot. Nobody wants that hanging over their head. I would, that's why I'm a wide receiver in this instance.
Nice.
Not a kicker.
I assume you'd be drafted by the Bengals.
I mean, maybe I'd prefer.
No, he would be drafted by the Steelers.
That's not funny, Ryan. You know what's funny is that thinking about this in my head is it's kind of like thinking like an NFL free agent. Where would you want to play? I'd actually prefer to be drafted by like an LA team or the Dolphins. I want to be somewhere warm, where I can spend my NFL money on a swimming pool outside and have like a waterfall and have a four-story. I thought this through. So I want to be somewhere warm. That's where. I don't care. You guys put me anywhere.
Well, you want to be in California because of the taxes.
Definitely. So Florida, I think.
And the Fires.
Vegas. Send me to the Vegas Raiders as soon as they move there. That's where I want to go.
That is a perfect fit.
That's pretty good. All right.
What round do I go in, guys?
Sixth round.
No. He's a third round compensatory pick. He's Julian
Edelman. He's in the supplemental draft because he got in trouble in college for doing something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a major
supplemental draft for sure.
Major supplemental draft. Jesus. I'm gonna say I'm gonna go play. I always wanted to go to. I'm like Ryan. I want to go to college out west at first. Then ended up never leaving North Carolina. So I'll say.
You're gonna pick USC.
What's that?
Pick USC.
No, I'm going to say UCLA.
That's a Brinson. I could totally see Brinson. That's West Coast Brinson.
I'm going to be
you know what that is?
I'm going to be a little scat Brinson.
That's Brinson and Brentwood.
You're a running back?
Brentwood.
Third down back, yeah.
Third down back? Like a Gio Bernard third down back or like Derek Watts third down back?
What do you think I should play?
I'm just trying to figure out what's your biggest part of your game? Like, what do you do best?
Sneaky fast. I'm going to catch the ball in the backfield. Or be a wide receiver. Like, we already took the wide receiver. I went last.
You could be the special team's ace. You'd be the Matthew Slater.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking like a West Coast Ryan Switzer vibe here, maybe.
All right. I was going to say like a Dan Sorensen safety. Is that his name, Dan?
Yeah, I was thinking like a slower inside linebacker.
I'll be a safety. Safety works. There you go. I'll be a safety.
So not the guy from Tampa Bay that got stuck.
I'll be a UCLA safety.
Chris Conte. He went to Cal.
I'll be a UCLA safety who routinely gets like caught and like creeping into the box and get tossed like burn over top. And I'll be a what round am I going to the Seahawks? What round?
You're an in the box safety.
Seahawks.
Well, Seahawks.
Why the Seahawks?
Stay on Legion the of Boom. Legion of Brinson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be a fifth round pick. I'm fine with that.
Gee, thanks, Ryan.
I feel like the Raiders might draft you too. So maybe we're teammates in Vegas.
All right, I'll do that. Yeah,
we can room together at the Bellagio.
Ryan, how long until they get suspended for?
Six months max. 6 months.
Yeah, that sounds optimistic.
There's a major scandal involving. I don't know if it's illegal, but it's like there's a major scandal involving something.
I will say, the headlines, I think, two Raiders draft picks suspended before the first week of the season.
I will say, out of all of us, look, none of us are going to be stars in the NFL. I think Ryan has the best chance to piece together that like long career as like the backup because he's willing to go along with the company line, not offend anyone. You guys are getting in trouble. I'm just going to get way too frustrated and quit and give up. Ryan's going to be in like a 15-year veteran making like $100 million and then go into broadcasting or something.
Breach and I would be like doing a podcast with Jamarcus Russell out of the Bellagio or something like that within like 9 months.
Sean will be totally be Mike Vanderjack where he couldn't handle the, he had a good career going, couldn't handle the pressure, shanks a field goal by 17 yards in the playoffs and we never see him again.
Great question from Jonathan. If you want to leave your, five-star review, we will answer anything you leave. Remember, join our Facebook group. You search, go to facebook.com, search Pick Six Podcast and join there. I had to drive all freaking day on Sunday morning so I couldn't answer questions, but I'll be back doing answer questions on Thursday. I'll try and jump in for waiver questions on Tuesday. I'm just trying to go through and answer all the questions that are out there. I don't do a Q&A. I just try and jump in and answer the questions.
That's my day.
Okay, whatever.
The trade deadline recap later on Tuesday, and then the Brady Quinn football show will be on Wednesday morning. Thanks for listening. Fun times, guys. Talk to you soon.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.